Are you feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, like you're just an Uber driver to your kids' endless appointments? Do you wonder, is this all there is? Stop driving around and try something different. Book in with Body and Mind Online for expert speech therapy, occupational therapy, psychologist and counsellors via telehealth. I founded Body and Mind Online 5 years ago, and it has since been one of the most inclusive therapy centres in the country. This podcast is my passion project. But I've realized that by not openly recommending Body and Mind Online, I'm leaving many of you to navigate the daunting task of finding the right providers on your own. Stop the struggle and get the support that you and your family deserve. Visit adhdmums.com.au and visit the therapy page to take the first step forward towards a balanced life with Body and Mind Online. Welcome to the ADHD Mums Podcast, a safe place for everyday Australian mums to discuss their struggles with ADHD, motherhood and life. Hello and welcome to the next episode of ADHD Mums. Today we have Dr. Jacinta Thompson back again. So Dr. Jacinta Thompson was probably the first clinical psychologist I had on who took the bait when I asked her to do an episode on diagnosis. And still to this day, one of her most highly rated episodes. That, along with the differences between being autistic and ADHD, again, well over 90% consumption. So Jacinta, when she sent me an email and said, let's do another topic, of course I said yes. And we've been laughing that I did not actually read the email properly as to what we were doing, but said yes blindly, but we've gotten there in the end, Jacinta. So first off, we wanted to give credit to Rich and Rox on TikTok. They have such a great Instagram and TikTok. And it was Jacinta that said maybe we should do an episode on the ADHD dictionary. What kind of grabbed you with the theme, Jacinta?
I find that in my sessions with fellow ADHDers, so much of our conversation is woven with this really unique lingo. There's so many like shortcuts and abbreviations and sort of made up words or hyphenated words that we just get. And, you know, sometimes it's like one word that can save a 20-minute explanation of someone's particular struggle that morning. So I think for an ADHD, anything that's a shortcut that saves time, that's more economical in our communication, I'm like, that's a win.
Yeah, and I think we're also really done with explaining ourselves too, where we have to go, oh, it's actually really hard for me to do that, and then have to go into all the reasons why. When you're talking to a fellow ADHDer, they're like, oh God, I hate having to call the bank. Oh, you don't even need to explain.
Exactly. I think it's part of almost like a community, isn't it? When we can both recognize the same struggle and go, yeah, I'm there right with you.
Absolutely. So without further ado, we are going to attempt this unstructured thing that we have got here. So do you want to start?
Like Rich and Rox do, I like how one person will ask the other person, do you know what X means? Obviously in the context of like ADHD slang. And then we'll take it into to sort of have a go at like guessing what that means. And obviously, if we've got any like relatable examples, we can share those together too.
Beautiful. Okay. So for context, we do not know the other questions that the other person is going to ask us. So this isn't some kind of weird acting thing. We already know, but then we have to pretend that we don't. Okay. Do you want to ask me first?
Yeah, I'm happy to start. I think a lot of ADHDers will have heard this before and relate to it in their own ways. Jane, do you know what DOPA mining is?
I would say DOPA mining means looking for dopamine.
Yeah,
walking
exactly.
Around. Mining, oh my God, yeah. I got it.
We need like a ding, 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 like a little sound effect here. So DOPA mining, exactly that. It's searching for dopamine, whether that's through like spending money, deep dive researching, thrill seeking, hanging out with friends, whatever it is. I mean, for me, it's absolutely hours and hours of scrolling on Temu for the world's most ridiculous but fascinating inventions.
So would you still do that if you are on ADHD medication?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really critical part of having an interest-based nervous system. We're drawn in and hooked by the things that inspire us and excite us and interest us, you know, the things that give us dopamine.
Okay, so I felt like because Jacinta bought this topic up to me, I can't use standard ones because she's clearly watched some videos. So I've gone down the dark rabbit hole of Reddit. So who knows? I don't know if these are obvious or not, but I don't know if most things are obvious or not. So who knows? The first one is called adjunct.
I don't know. Is it when you get like distracted in a conversation by something that's sort of semi-related?
Oh my God. I think I have got the rare ones. I was looking for them. Okay, no. Adjunct is items that ADHD is purchased on impulse or things that are bought to help ADHD is get organized, but they often end up in landfills.
Like J-U-N-K, like junk.
Okay, so we need to spell the words because otherwise if I say adjunct, you didn't realize it was actually junk, J-U-N-K.
That's right. Tricky. Again, a bit literal here.
Yeah, look, I could have seen that coming, didn't it?
All right, so I'm going to go next. So my next one is internest, I-N-T-E-R-N-E-S-T. Feels like a spelling bee. Internest.
Now, initially I thought that's going to be like looking stuff up, like interest on the internet.
Yeah, I can see how that would work. In this other explanation, internest is like when you've done too much peopling in a day and you just need to bury yourself in some sort of fort of blankets and just doom scroll for hours. So for me, that's like maybe once a month where I'm totally sort of overloaded by the world and I'll hide under my doona in the dark and my husband like feeds me Vegemite toast and like tea through a tiny little gap in the blankets.
Oh my God.
So it's like the nest.
Oh, do you know what my happy place is when I'm in that phase, which was on Saturday morning, is I like to just walk around and tidy up things on my own with nobody in the house.
Oh, with nobody in the house, just like undivided attention.
Not with people and not with anybody going, why are you putting that there? What are you doing with that? You're not throwing that away, are you? I like to walk around in peace in my own home and just tidy things and move them from room to room. It's a weird thing. I love it.
How satisfying and regulating. I can totally relate.
Oh, so good. Okay, moving on. The next one. Adrift. A-D-R-I-F-T. Drift, like drifting. Adrift. Adrift.
Is that when you're just like wandering around, like you don't know why you're in the room or sort of why you're halfway through a particular task, or yeah, is it like just totally lost without direction?
Very close. It's actually the sensation that ADHDs get when they feel like they're missing something. They feel like they should be somewhere. I've forgotten something. Something's amiss.
Oh my gosh, is that not just like 24/7?
It's like anytime I feel relaxed, which is never, then I think I can't be relaxed. There must be something.
Definitely miss something. That reminds me of that room amnesia when, you know, you walk into a room and you actually have no idea what you're meant to be doing. And then you do that like backwards dance, that like you physically reverse through other rooms of the house and you have to do it backwards. You can't do it forwards. I think if I go forwards, it makes me feel like I'm starting a new task, whereas actually I'm trying to complete the last task. But you just go backwards and backwards and backwards looking around until you sort of finally land on the prompt that led you to do the next thing in the next room. I constantly feel adrift, like just walking backwards around my house and my kids are like, what are you looking for?
And you know what though, but do you admit that? Because when my hubby says to me, oh, Jane, you're walking in circles, what are you doing? And I don't know, I never admit it. I know exactly what I'm doing. Thank you.
I'm very adrift. Yeah, I do. I usually laugh. And then everyone thankfully sort of pitches in to help me find whatever the cue is that prompted the next the unfinished activity.
That's funny, actually.
Okay, so my turn. I think you should know this one. Side quest.
Side quest. I mean, it seems obvious that you've gone to the laundry to do the washing, but then you've seen something else and then you've wandered off.
Yeah.
It is a positive way of saying it, though. I mean, I actually thought that side quests were like me being really efficient a few years ago. Now I see that they're not really very efficient.
Well, I guess it depends on your definition of efficiency, right? It's like, I think it comes from a video game, and I'm not a gamer, so please don't hate me if I get this wrong. But I think a side quest is like optional missions that are not necessarily required to like complete the main narrative of a game. So I think it's still stuff that can be interesting or useful, or you might still get like points or like rewards for doing it, but it's not sort of central to that, like that primary chore.
Ah, yes. Well, any side quest I see, I will go down.
Me too. It's like you say you're going to go get a snack, but then you decide you've got to change careers, like learn the drums, order a selection of Band-Aids from Amazon, and then rearrange your bedroom furniture first.
so much. And then like your head doesn't stop going, but then you realize that probably like for me, 80% of them would be side quests.
Exactly. Actually, my friends laughed at me last year. I was preparing for a workshop that I was running and I spent so many hours researching how would one resuscitate a giraffe if it went into cardiac arrest. I know this is so random, but I had all these questions like just totally coming at me from all angles. Like, how would you do compressions and then still run around like, you know, where the head is? And like, would your breath be like forceful enough to make it all the way down the neck? Would you have to jump on its chest like a trampoline? It just was like, I could not actually develop the workshop until I had figured all those things out from the darkest sort of depths of the internet. And my husband is just like, what are these side quests? This is so inefficient. I'm like, but it's also really fascinating.
I feel like everybody listening is going to like be on their phone going, but how would you resuscitate a
giraffe? Exactly. Yeah, look, your chances aren't good. I can tell you that. Their heart speed at 150 beats a minute. So that's a lot of blood pressure to get moving around. So I think if you're in that situation and you can't resuscitate that giraffe, you really can't hold on to that as anything you did wrong.
I feel like the consumption rate of this episode will stop just here.
It's like, not about the giraffe. Side quest, hey? Side quest. There
I
it is.
I just set up this massive side quest because I was there for a second going, could I just look that up quickly? No, stop. Stop.
Inhibition.
Okay, next one for you. Advance. And it's just as it sounds, ADVANCE, advance. It's a tough one. I don't think you're going to get it.
What's your explanation?
Okay, so it's when you're cleaning up or you're attempting to get things done, but all you've done is create piles of things.
Like doom piles. Yeah.
Doom piles. You haven't moved forward, but you've moved the piles around.
Yes, totally relate to that. You know, like if you say doom pile, D-O-O-M, you can make that stand for didn't organize, only moved. So it's literally just like shifting around the house or into that cupboard or that room no one uses, right? But you're not actually organizing or tidying.
I feel like that's a takeoff of doom pile because that's a much better name.
It's easier to remember.
That is way easier to remember. But I mean, it's Reddit. So I mean, you know, quality.
All right, my turn. Procrastinating working.
When you should be working, but you're procrastinating.
Yeah, so it's definitely that combo, but it's more about when you are avoiding doing one particular task by hyper-focusing on other tasks that are less important, but really working hard at those things. So it's like those days where you feel like you've been so productive, yet so unproductive with that like one thing you should have gotten done.
Oh, so it's like an awkward phone call. So then you go and then do your tax, which you didn't want to ever do your tax, but it's better than having to do the phone call.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I think like that's what I do most days.
Okay, plancel, P-L-A-N-C-E-L.
Planting a pencil, plancel, no idea.
That's an awesome response. It's making a plan that you're 100% committed to at the time, but also know that 100% chance you will cancel.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love
actually
that
like,
one.
I like planting a pencil. I like that better.
Planting a pencil, way better. I'm so literal. I'm like, you can see why I don't get jokes. I'm just like, yeah, but why would you say that?
Yeah, neither do I. It's like, I'm just laughing at our own just so atypical interpretations of these words.
It's so funny. I don't know what the right word is, like an autism assessment course or like an ADOS course. Anyway, they're going through like the autism assessment and like, you know, what are the flags? And I loved it. It was super interesting. But as we're watching it, they kept putting videos of autistic people on and then breaking down what it was and why they did the marking. It was so interesting. But anyway, me being me, I put up my hand and I was like, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed watching those. I'm just a bit confused what a neurotypical person would do. Could you just do a video on that? Because like, I just don't know, because I've got so many autistic people.
Yeah, you're like, this
that I know.
I'm
just like, I know what this is, but I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like, can you show me the video? And it was really funny because I just couldn't get my head around how are you supposed to do it then?
It's in the MIGDAS, which is the diagnostic interview that I use for autism in adults. Part of it is exploring someone's response to jokes or to non-literal language, like metaphors and analogies and things like that. And you're supposed to give an example like burning the candle at both ends, or someone wears their heart on their sleeve, and gauge someone's response. And the examples that are all listed in the manual, I've never actually understood those terms like before during this evaluation. I had to like Google, really make sure I understood what that neurotypical interpretation was to then be able to gauge the contrast. But yeah, I'm the same. And nothing more stressful than when someone says to you, hey, do you want to hear a joke? Do you find that?
Oh, it's no.
Like, oh, I already know I'm not going to get it. So I'm trying to like make sure my face doesn't, you know, show that and make the other person feel awkward before they had a chance to tell the joke. And then I've got to wait and try to find that right moment to laugh. It's so painful.
Well, it's a little bit similar to when someone gives you a gift and then you go to put it in your pocket
exactly.
or your bag. And then they're like, don't you want to open it? And you're thinking to yourself, no, I don't want to open it, but I will if I have to.
Exactly. Okay, I've got another one. Is it, yeah, my turn for you, Jane. Textpectation, T-E-X-T-P-E-C-T-A-T-I-O-N, textpectation.
Have to be the expectation to reply?
Yes.
I don't like that one. Well, I don't like the expectation to reply.
Immediately, yeah. So I think often for ADHDers, it's such a hot and cold like relationship with texting and messaging. It could be like hugely intense sort of reciprocal interaction over a couple of hours or days, and then maybe you won't speak for 3 months or 6 months or longer, and it really doesn't have any reflection on the quality of the relationship or how important that other person is to you. It's just really hard to find that consistency in remembering to check notifications and finding time in an organized way to respond.
My best friend who lives interstate, she was saying to me that every now and again, like she'll be in the shower or something and her husband will come in with the phone and be like, Jane has texted you 27 times in the last 3 minutes or whatever it is. And she's like, just put it down there. It's fine. And he's like,
not
it seems urgent. Should I check it? And she's like, she's probably just updating me about her afternoon.
Or the last like 6 months, right?
Yeah. So with her, I'm a bit more consistent, but sometimes people say to me, I haven't heard from you for 3 months, and I send them like 85 messages in one day. And they're like, I just don't know what you're doing.
So ADHD.
Yeah, but I like to do like 4 words on each line. It's very annoying. A lot of people
And then a new message, like you'll send and then a new message. Oh, that is so irritating.
I know.
So
people
many,
tell me
like,
all
notifications.
The time. Oh. Like when it's a sentence, Jane, you don't even put half a sentence in a text. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I'd feel overwhelmed.
But I'm also scared it will disappear. So I'm like, I'm not going to do it in one message because it disappears sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Or if you like just lose, you're likely to get distracted or lose your train of thought like halfway through the thought. So it's better to get half the thought down as just like a holding, you know, like a holding,
oh, yes.
Like a bookmark. And then if you need to come back to it, you can.
Although sometimes I've been known to text people, oh my fucking God, you wouldn't believe what happened, and then get distracted and leave it.
Oh, that is hilarious. That's also very cruel.
And then they'll be texting back and I'll be doing something else, forget about them, and they're like, can you just write back?
Do not send an ambulance. I am okay.
No one wants to be my friend because I'm woeful at texting.
You just got to get used to it, right?
Anyway, now let me give you, well, you'll like this one. Prickly.
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 Is that when you're both overstimulated and understimulated at the same time and you just don't know what to do with yourself and absolutely nothing helps?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it is.
Bing, bing, bing.
I love that one.
I relate to that very often.
Let me give you one more while you're, because you got that one quickly. What about, that's too obvious, but I do like this one. The social hangover.
Yeah, that's when you're peopled out, right? Like you've just had too much social stimulation or interaction. And then that's when you feel like you need to go and hide in a quiet, dark space and not communicate for a while.
Yeah, and I think it is good because you could just say to a friend, I'm sorry, I've got a social hangover. I'm sorry, I can't make it, got a social hangover. Instead of having to say, oh, sorry, one of my kids is sick, or, you know, you have to make all these excuses that you have to remember because you've lied. Imagine just being able to go, sorry, I've got a social hangover.
Yeah, I think in one of our previous podcasts, Jane, we were talking about getting to that point, like a Christmas party, and trying to do a sneaky exit, like a ghost bomb. And yeah, I think it's so much better, like in your relationships, if you have that openness and acceptance where you can say, I've maxed out my social spoons, or I've got that hangover now, so I just have to tap out for the next bit of it. And people just don't need to ask any questions. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Or the, what's it called? Plan pencil.
The plancel.
Sorry.
The planted pencil of some sort.
I'm going to email you the next time you do an interview, and I'm going to be like, I've planted a pencil. I need to reschedule.
They'll know exactly what you mean.
Let me give you one more just because I like this one. Morning math rage.
I haven't heard of that before, but I'm assuming it's when you're trying to like map out how much time you have to get ready.
That's a good take on it. That wasn't it, but actually that's a really good one. Morning math, I feel like that's me whenever I try to plan on, oh, the appointment's here, I've got to be there at 9.
When you're doing that backwards engineering of like, well, I've got to leave here, that means it takes an hour for me and my kids to get shoes on, I've got to start that, you know, when you're doing that and then you just get so stressed out and agitated, like, and rageful.
Oh, totally. And then if there's anyone like with a meeting with a time zone change, I'm then completely fucked and I have to go call a friend and get my husband because I'm like, okay, well, now I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as an explanation. What's the real
one? I love your one, but this one here is, it's more of a like a kid or a studying reference, but it also can be related for work as well. So when you have a morning maths or science question, or someone sits near you and they fidget or distract you, and you're so focused on the movement or the sound that they're making that you can no longer do anything at all but focus on them.
They feel like two different things, don't they?
Well, it is Reddit, so, you know, you got to be realistic. So basically what I was just imagining it. It used to annoy me when I'd do my exams at uni and there'd be someone next to me. I was always in Tassie and everyone always had a cold. And there'd always be someone sniffing and they'd never had a tissue. And all I could think about is them sniffing. Sniff, sniff, sniff. It would drive me insane. I remember just being like, if I have to sit next to anyone sniffing, I'm going to lose my mind.
When my kids have colds and refuse to use tissues, sometimes I just lock myself in the laundry. I just hide there with the white noise going. Washing machine just gives me a break from, it feels like a lobotomy, doesn't it? Like that repetitive sort of distracting sound. It just like someone is scrambling your brain.
Yeah. And then you'd be there trying to just remember something and just be this sound constantly.
That's very much a blow up of being neurodivergent right there.
But anyway, there was nothing wrong with me when I was 17. So there's nothing to see here clearly.
So I'm going to ask you one now.
Okay.
Spurpose. S-P-U-R-P-O-S-E. Spurpose.
All I do is just put the words together and I just go, oh, no, I still don't get it. It's purpose.
Yes.
Spur of the moment purpose.
Yes, yes.
Oh, look.
Spur of the moment decision about a new life's purpose. Yep.
That happens all the time.
When does it happen for you?
Well, this isn't a very good thing to do, and I don't advise anyone do this. This is not the recipe for happiness. But I wrote 15 books in 3 weeks.
Whoa.
And I cannot stop thinking about all the other ones that I can write.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I just feel like my life's purpose is to write this book and it's all I can think about. Then I write it and I have a new idea and it doesn't stop. And the problem is that I don't just have ideas. I have to follow them all through.
So the ideas from your ADHD brain and then that commitment to seeing it through, you know, from the autistic side.
Yeah, so I don't have ideas that I don't follow through ever. And I used to follow through my husband's ideas too.
It's a very hyperactive brain, isn't it?
Oh, it's like off charts. And see, the problem is that everyone always says, well done and how amazing I am. Yeah. So it just gives me dopamine and feeds the beast. I don't advise it. It doesn't make
so
you very
exhausting.
Happy.
Yeah, it's just it's a massive hyperfixation, I guess.
Yeah, but then people say, well done, you're so amazing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but I'm... I wish I could turn it off a little bit.
But that's the point of this podcast, isn't it? Like acknowledging that their community is like superpowers, right? But they're not without costs in, you know, across many domains that I think are often hidden or taboo. People don't see it or talk about it. So that's, you know, that's what we're here to do.
That's true.
For me, I have an example for Spurpose. Like I like to make jewelry. And about 18 months ago, I decided that I'd make a bunch of like ADHD, like specific ones, like out of polymer clay. And I got into such a like a hyper obsession with this is how I can help people to like gently unmask through like self-expressive accessories, just to start sort of gentle conversations without having to come out with a t-shirt. Like I have ADHD or I'm autistic. And I made so many, I love them so much, but unfortunately I don't have the spoons to like distribute them or do anything with them. And also I get worried that people think that's a really weird initiative. So I just wear them a lot around the house and that's as far as it went.
Roger, Simba. You made me laugh because yeah, there's kind of so many different arms to it because you can do the creative, but then the distribution is a totally different capability.
And once it becomes sort of more a business endeavor, then it totally loses that spark, that interest.
Oh yeah. No, I hear you. That's what's happened with my books, to be honest. I'm like, but they're so pretty that I can't figure out how to get the ISBN numbers on Amazon. So I'm just going to wait there until I figure that out.
Sounds like something to delegate.
Yes, Jacinta, that's a great point. So let me give you this one here. The purse game.
Oh, I actually love this game. Is it when you're looking for something in your handbag and you pretty much like tip it out on the bed or whatever, and you find so many random, wonderful, forgotten, exciting, unimportant, but mesmerizing things that just accumulated in the depths of the bag?
Yes, that is it. That is it.
What sorts of things have you found in your bag if they could be revealed?
I always have like chewing gum, dexamphetamine, if I'm honest.
Just like the random pills that have fallen out of the bottle. And then
oh my God. Oh,
I'll get that later when I need it. And it's like a whole just...
And you know, the problem is that melatonin and dexamphetamine look exactly the same.
Up, down, up, down. What day is it?
So I was at a conference. I was like, I'm 50-50 if this is dexamphetamine. Like, I'm so hyperactive because it just dulled me down slightly. But I was like, I'm pretty sure I've just taken 2 melatonin. Oh, I feel pretty good.
Lucky for you that they're somewhat interchangeable of sitting like that.
Wow. And I'm just thinking, as long as I didn't take it the other way where I want to go to sleep and I've just taken 2 dexamphetamine because I do not need any more energy.
That ain't happening.
I love this one. I've been waiting to ask you this one, Jacinta. Symptom meteorology.
Is it when you're like learning about your ADHD or your autistic neurotype and you're doing lots of research, but then you're getting really into like the science, you know, maybe that's a chemistry or the neurobiology of better understanding how your brain works. But then you also want to like share all that knowledge, you know, with people around you. So it's almost like doing a weather report of sorts, but whether other people have the interest or the capacity to like listen to the science is another question.
Oh, you know what? You got really close then.
What
actually, I think you probably got it, but you just missed one tiny bit that I thought was funny. It says here, so when you try and explain your symptoms that day to the rest of the world using precise and scientific sounding language, but really you're just making your best guess about something that is as fickle as the weather.
Yeah, I reckon that's close enough.
That's pretty close.
Science.
You want to do a couple more of your best ones and then we'll move to renaming of it? What do you think?
Yeah, I'll do 2 more, I reckon.
Okay.
Sticky hands. So many sideways versions.
No idea. I mean, like, I'm so literal. I'm just like, your kid's got sticky hands. They're going to touch you. I don't know.
So picking something up, like a brush or a TV remote, and carrying it around for ages, forgetting it's in your hands until it drops off in random places. So like this morning, I tried to collect all my kids' random toothbrushes left around the house. It was really determined to get them all back into the bathroom. And then about an hour later, I was getting really annoyed. Well, not an hour, a bit later, I was trying to vacuum, but I couldn't hold the vacuum properly because I had all these toothbrushes that I was still holding in my hands. So it was only at that point that I was like, oh, toothbrushes haven't yet made it back to the bathroom. So I think it's just randomly forgetting what's in or on your body until there's an actual consequence for it.
I was kind of like imagining you going out to greet a client and then you've got like some like kids' toothbrushes in your pocket.
Like Edward Scissorhands.
Like, yeah. And then you're like, they're like, Why have you got these old toothbrushes hanging out of your pocket? Like, oh, I was going to put them in the bathroom. My kids, I forgot. I drove
that
to work.
That was a half-started task.
And greeted a client. I'd be like, wow.
And I've got my vacuum cleaner in my bag. I'm like, I'm still in domestic mode.
Oh, that is so funny. Okay. This is called the fucked zone.
Is that it? Is that the question?
Yep. It's called the fucked zone.
Is that just when everything feels fucked? Like you make so many mistakes, like you just can't figure out what you're supposed to be doing. Communication isn't working. Nothing is sort of going as planned.
Yeah. Like, you know, how do you ever touch, like, do you feel like whatever you touch just goes to shit? Like everything you touch, you're like, I actually just have to go to bed because this day, everything I touch is just going awful.
Yeah. I actually have a phrase for that. If I walk around the house going, this day is done. We're done now. This day is done. Everyone knows that literally I cannot do anything else. I can't function beyond that point.
Yeah. Like you open the fridge, something falls out, everything you touch.
I reckon everyone can relate to that.
Okay. One more that goes with that one. Mm-hmm. Maximum overdrive.
Is that when you're sort of trying to leverage hyperactivity and hyperfocus and you're going a million miles an hour trying to accomplish something, but at a state of like elevated arousal, knowing that it's inevitable you will crash and burn at some point, like the racy, racy, go, go brain state, like a supercharged car without brakes and GPS, is that sort of zoned?
Yeah. You're good at guessing them, actually. That is exactly it. So it's the exact opposite of the fucked zone. And it is, I will do everything. However, unfortunately, it's very rare.
Yeah. I think either end of those, you know, that continuum is not a sustainable or necessarily adaptive place to be for a neurodivergent person, but it just goes with the territory. I think that's important. It's important why we have, yes, that self-awareness and strategies to be able to recognize when we're getting close to either of those zones and being able to right ourselves.
And the balance is always elusive, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's almost character. That's just the core of ADHD, isn't it? We're all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah. Okay. I've got one more for you.
Okay.
Waiting mode.
I would cannot wait to save myself. I'm so impatient. So it's hard to imagine even having a mode when you just wait. Is it? I mean, I see other people have spoken to me about sitting on a couch, not being able to get up, and they just sit there. Like, I've never experienced that, but I know that's the real thing.
It's more like, you know, when you find it hard to get things done when you've got an appointment or event later in the day. So if you've got something planned coming up soon, it feels hard to prioritize any other task in the interim. Like you've just got to hyper obsess about this appointment. So heaven forbid you don't get like distracted or forget about it as it comes up. So it's like just being so focused that nothing else gets done in that sort of waiting period.
Okay. Now I've read about that and I do not understand it because what I do is I do the opposite and I go, okay, the meeting's at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to go and find the cure for cancer and drive to Brisbane and come back and then pick up a kid and then go off somewhere else, meet a friend and I'll be back by exactly 2. And then when the time comes, I'm wondering why I haven't eaten lunch, had any caffeine, I'm completely stressed out. And then I have to do the phone call that was really important, like off the back of somewhere with no phone reception and 1% battery. And I'm like, how did this happen?
So maybe your version of waiting is just through overscheduling rather than inactivity.
Yes. Like I'm like, oh, got hours. Can't wait. And then I think to myself, how did I get here again?
It's hectic. That's why it's so hectic, right? And just slotting in as much as you possibly can in between critical appointments.
Yeah, but then see, the problem is with that is that you're actually better off waiting because at the end of this day that I've overscheduled with all these other random tasks that probably aren't even important, I actually still missed a phone call or go out of reception and then have an entirely stressful experience trying to get this one phone call, which was the only thing that day I had to do. And then at the end of the day, my hubby will go, oh, how did you go on the phone call? And I go, oh, I only had 2% battery, it dropped and I probably won't be able to talk to them again for 6 months. And he'll be like, oh my God.
So it's probably a combination of executive functioning challenges, right? Like it's the prioritization and that the time management and, you know, not getting distracted by side quests that ultimately impact the most important task.
Yeah. Or what is that one way? I think you said it to me once where you think you're going to be able to do, like you like think you're Superman at like 7 o'clock in the morning. So you go and give yourself all of these things as if you're like full superhero. And then by the time 2 o'clock comes, you're like, what was I thinking?
None Maybe that's that like hypercharged mode when you've got really high expectations and you've got the hyperactivity to sort of fuel it, like the energy. And especially I think if you're on ADHD medication, usually you've got that optimal window, sort of 4 to 6 hours, usually after you take it in the morning. So I think a lot of us raise the bar.
True.
In terms of, our performance and our those expectations and then ultimately come sort of tumbling down.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. That is a good point. Anyway, I'm going to make some changes this year, Jacinta. Just wait and see. Now, Jacinta, one of the other things I wanted to ask you before we go was you were the one that really spoke to me about identity first language. So I am autistic versus this person has autism, which when you explained it to me, it really made sense to me. I'm not very detailed, so I struggle with nuances. So like little things, I'm like, what do you mean? There's no difference between a person has autism and I am autistic. Like, I don't get the difference. When you explained to me, maybe you should explain in case anyone else hasn't heard why that is.
So it seems to be that the autistic and ADHD community by and large prefer identity first language, which means having an autistic neurotype, for example, is at the center of someone's identity in terms of how they show up and experience the world any given second of any given day. So it's at the center of everyday experience, i.e. their identity. So that would be framed as an autistic individual or I am autistic, rather than person first language, which might be more appropriate in describing someone who has more episodic or fluctuating, say, symptoms of a condition like depression or anxiety. So in those instances, we generally say person experiencing anxiety or someone with depression, meaning that they're a person first and then their symptoms or their condition is sort of secondary to their identity. It can be a little bit confusing to tease apart and, you know, there's certainly people within the neurodivergent community that prefer person first language over identity first. So I think it's just always really valuable to ask someone, you know, how do you prefer to talk about your neurodivergence and how it sort of sits within your self-perception rather than making assumptions.
Yeah, and I think I really love the way that you explained that because once you did, I've been really detailed actually, which is unlike me to ensure that I do use the right language. And when I say right, what's right to you is different, but that feels right to me when you spoke to me about it. But the issue then is everyone talks about ADHD being renamed. Mm-hmm. And because we know it's got disorder at the end, which is the D. So then when if I'm saying I am autistic and ADHD, you're then kind of negating what you're attempting to say.
Yeah, it does feel a bit paradoxical. We've got a fair way to go with ADHD. There's been all sorts of different alternatives proposed, but from my perspective, I haven't seen anything that feels both affirming as well as validating of the true difficulties that comes with having ADHD. So I agree. Being autistic or being an ADHDer, they're not deficits or disorders inherently. They're just differences in the way the brain is wired. So the way your brain is structured and the way that it functions in going about your everyday activities. There's a lot of sort of funnier ones out there, certainly on TikTok. One that I had a little laugh at the other day, someone calls it ADOS, like ADOS, meaning attention deficit. Oh, shiny, which I laugh for saying because that does describe me pretty well. But I think it's a little bit infantilizing of something that is actually presents a range of difficulties that I think impacts people's functioning in this neurotypical world. Have you come across anything that you feel like could be a better acronym or, better sort of phrase for ADHD?
Okay. I have got a couple here. I liked this one. Variable Attention Trait Disorder, VAT. But then it's a disorder. but I liked variable attention as a thing. I also liked dopamine attention variability, but then they have executive dysfunction. So they call it DAVE. I have DAVE, which is dopamine attention variability executive dysfunction. But again, it's a dysfunction.
If I walked around saying I've got DAVE, I think people would assume that maybe I've left my husband.
Yeah. I also didn't mind capacity management, but then it's got a syndrome.
Yeah, syndrome is sort of less pathology oriented, less like clinical. Yeah, but they're such mouthfuls, aren't they? Like it would take a lot of practice, I think, for any of those, just to like put the words together and make that sound sort of fluid and comfortable.
I like the variable.
Yeah. That's better because attention deficit is such a misnomer, isn't it? Like it's not that ADHD is lack attention. In fact, we've probably got way too much attention and struggle to like direct it in priority driven ways. So it's like the variable regulation of attention of sorts. Yeah, it's hard to really capture it, isn't it? And of course, there's so much to being an ADHDer that's not listed, you know, these behavioral characteristics in the DSM. So it'd be nice eventually to see something that was more relatable, less clinical, and I guess more nuanced in what it's actually like as an ADHDer.
Yeah, I agree. Because when what it is so much different to the name, how can you expect people to use it correctly and understand when the name doesn't reflect what it is?
Yeah, that's right. And there's so much diversity just amongst people who have ADHD, like you were talking about, you know, even just between you and your husband, it presents so differently. It's hard, I think, in any diagnosis to, I guess, arrive on a name or even a definition, a description of traits that meet the majority.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, thank you so much for your time, Jacinta. It was great to have you on.
Yeah, you as well, Jane.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.